Did you know that Game Pass or Pass is brought to you for free because of Spotify for Podcasters? It's a totally free platform, and you can make a podcast today for free. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are heard. And if you think about taking your podcast to the next level with a video podcast, Spotify can help you too. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways that includes ads and podcast subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to spotify.com/podcasts to get started right now.
It's now time for a very noble six edition of Game Pass or Pass, a podcast where we play games on Microsoft Game Pass service and tell you which games to pass on to your friends and which games to simply pass on by. Get rid of them like the planet Reach. I am Corey.
Spoiler alert, I am joined
by Basher.
What is the deal, good sirs? I just want to, before we get this show off running, I just want to say shout out to my boy Sonic opening up this Valentine's Day. Everybody should go see it. Apparently a $50 million opening almost.
Are they? Wow, that's more than I was going to expect, like 30 to 40.
It's 41 to 47. I'm guessing once that word of mouth hits, it's going to be 50-60, let's be honest.
I don't think it looks bad. I really don't.
Not anymore.
I mean, right. I mean, sure. I think the original concept for Sonic was bad, but I mean, the movie itself.
It doesn't look.
It looks like a movie that Hollywood would make.
I'm jokingly going to go see it.
Oh, I'm gonna see it opening night.
Because I'm that guy with Sonic, but at the same time, before I saw any trailer, I was hoping it would be so bad I can fake it being good.
Right, like Doom Annihilation.
That would be the joke, right? But it's like the trailer I just watched. I'm like, oh, it looks like a solid kids movie.
Yeah, I'm gonna see it, and I'll probably think it's all right, and I'll move on with my life. It is episode 21, and in this episode, we're gonna be talking about Bungie's last Halo game, Halo Reach. But before we get to that, if you're listening to us on a podcast service of your choice, why not give us a rating? I know I ask about it. It's because I want to hear from you. You can also email us at gpopfans@gmail.com. Don't forget that. It's important, ladies and gentlemen.
They don't forget that.
I know. It's so important that I forget it. I'm just so excited to talk about games. I still haven't put it in the notes to talk about this stuff, but sometimes I just remember. So you want to let us know how we're doing, gpopfans@gmail.com. You can also rate us on your podcast service of your choice. But now it's time to talk about Halo Reach. Like I said, this was Bungie's last game on the Xbox 360, their last Halo game before moving on to what is known as Destiny, which is a different topic for a different time. But this version of Halo Reach is actually the, quote, remastered edition, where they have basically made it PC, work on the PC, but also given it 4K 60 support on Xbox One X, as well as HDR, so that's sort of a spoiler alert if it is Xbox One X enhanced. Regular price for this game is this one's a little weird. So on Xbox, you have to have Halo Master Chief Collection to be able to purchase Halo Reach, which is normally $9.99. But if you have Game Pass, you have it all. On PC, you can buy Master Chief Collection, the entirety, which will eventually have every Halo minus Halo 5 for $39.99. Or you can buy Halo Reach by itself on PC for $9.99. So a little bit strange, but it is available on PC and Xbox. What's kind of strange is it is not Xbox Play Anywhere, So you cannot, you know, we found that out. You cannot actually play on PC and console at the same time, which is very strange for Microsoft, considering that's been their thing lately. It was a little jarring, I have to admit. And under the DLC category, I put, this is DLC technically. So
the thing itself is DLC.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So does it, does this qualify as having DLC if it is DLC?
I mean, I think they're all DLC. We downloaded it as content, therefore it's all DLC.
You are correct. On Xbox One X, you're going to get 4K 60 HDR, which I got to admit, game looks pretty nice for
HDR
a remaster.
Fixes everything. Like HDR
is one of those things to where we haven't really talked a ton about it, because I don't think we've really played many games that have HDR support that at least use it correctly. And this is one of the few games where they went back and they did it right. You know, HDR is something that can easily be implemented in a way that is very, very just basic. And yeah, you get a little HDR here and there, but this game looks nice. It makes me excited to play some of the other games now in HDR when we get there. So Xbox One X, you're going to get 4K 60. On regular Xbox One, you're going to get 1080p 60. And on PC, I think it's fair to say that since it is an older game, it's pretty easy to run. I was able to run this thing at 4K 60 on a 1063 gig and a Ryzen 2600. So not hard to run at all. You could probably run this thing on pretty much anything, at least at 1080p. So
I'm a bit like, I mean, I don't know. Like, I mean, I understand, like, they put a lot of money into this. So like to this whole venture, so they have to recoup something. But with Microsoft's backing, I'm just kind of like, and it being your own property at this point, I just figure like something like this, I feel like at least up to maybe Halo 4, I could have seen like the first few just kind of being like freebies for PC players, like just to get them kind of wet for the new Halo coming out. But
I mean,
I don't really think. But we'll get to whether or not it's what it's worth.
Yeah, this PC like release is strange. Like, right. It just in general. So, but I think we'll get to that probably near the end. So Halo Reach, we're strictly only talking about the campaign. So if this is your first time joining us, we have decided, up until the release of Halo Infinite, we're going to be at some point talking about every campaign in the Halo franchise, and we're deciding to do it in chronological order of the story because that's the way they are releasing it on the personal computer. So obviously Halo Reach was not the first Halo game to come out, but it does take place. It's the oldest one in the adventure. So it's going to be interesting to kind of play these in that order versus the actual release order because games change, et cetera, et cetera. So, but this game was sort of labeled as Bungie's last Halo game because Microsoft did end up sort of buying the franchise. Not sort of, they did end up buying the franchise and Bungie went to go on to do different things. So this was the last time that Bungie, which is, and Halo is the game that made the Xbox and made Bungie really. So this was their last attempt.
I disagree.
It wasn't Oni, I can tell you that much.
It was definitely Blinks the Cat.
Oh, well, all right, you got me there. You got me there, you jerk. So
I remember seeing it may have been a GamePro. No, it was definitely an Xbox magazine. It was definitely 100% an Xbox magazine cover. Blinks the Cat, and it said, move over Mario, move over maybe Sonic. Like, there's a new king in town or something like that. Yeah. It was Blinks the Cat.
That sounds like a magazine headline for sure. So, Halo Reach, what did we think about playing Halo Reach?
So, I mean, I'm going to go on record as saying Halo 2 is one of my favorite games of all time. I just love that game. I still have very fond memories of it. I honestly met lifelong friends playing Halo 2, like just via the Xbox Live and just like playing Coag and all those fun maps, all those classic maps with classic weaponries and vehicles and stuff. And it's Halo 2 holds a very special place in my heart. I remember playing Halo CE LAN parties back in the day. So it's like, I mean, it was fun enough. I enjoyed the campaign a lot more. I think the multiplayer part of it, the LAN part of it, I was just like, whatever. I enjoyed the campaign for what it was. I liked the character. So going into these series of games all over again, I was hoping to get a newfound respect for the storytelling, the lore, and the characters. This being the first one so far, I gotta say, it did not accomplish that goal for me. I just didn't get the whole fall of Reach. Is like, you have to understand, like, so after this is Halo CE. So it's like the whole, like, playing through that game, I can't wait to play through it now. Playing through that game, I don't remember Reach being that big of a deal. So, like, correct me if I'm wrong, like, was there a whole lot of talk about Reach and CE?
You know, it's been a while since I have played the original. Well, I take that back. Like, I have played the original probably 2 or 3 years ago. I did not finish it, though, but it was something came out and I wanted to check it out, and I ended up playing through like the first quarter of it. But no, I don't, as far as I remember, and I'm sure there's gonna be someone that's like screaming at their
right,
their phone right now, you morons, I do not remember the word Reach. I don't remember ever being a major chapter that they ever talk about, kind of thing.
For which this seems like a just in terms of narrative, this seems, Halo Reach seems like a less, an even lesser version of like a Star Wars Rogue One for me, because at least, maybe it's just my horrible recollection of things, but at least when I've watched Star Wars, and I haven't seen the original trilogy in forever. Like, I only saw them once, and that was it, and I thought, whatever. But at least I remember in that crawl or whatever, they mentioned, like how they got the plans, and it was kind of like a one-off. Like, we got the plans, we're good to go. But, like, the idea of Reach in these four characters, in Noble Six especially.
Six of them, actually. Like, I don't even... Well, I guess that's a way to hop in, is that, like, I don't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good.
The idea of us sort of having an attachment to these characters, of this team that... So, I remember the lead-up to this game. And the lead-up to this game was that, like, they basically... It's the same thing as Rogue One. Well, it's not the same thing as Rogue One. But they tell you that they were going to fail, kind of thing. Like, you knew they were going to die. You knew that the mission was going to be one where they weren't going to come back, kind of thing. And that was how they sold this game. It was like, you're going to play this story, you're going to see what it's like, et cetera, et cetera. And which is fine. Like, I think that's a unique way to tell a story. But I remember even the first time playing this, that when characters start dying and they start, you know, they introduce people, et cetera, et cetera, I was just like, I just don't care. Like,
well, part of the problem, I think, is like, because we beat this in two sittings, essentially.
About two and a half, three, because we had to disconnect and all that.
Right,
stuff,
exactly.
Yeah.
So, like, two and a half settings, I would say. So, like, it's not a very long campaign.
No, not at all.
So, like, in about, I want to say 12 chapters, you're losing teammates left and right, and you have no time with these characters. And, like, the only character building you have is, I'm the rough and tough one with the skull on my face. It's like, oh yeah, okay. Like, yeah, I'm the girl. It's like, all right. It's like, it's like a checkbox of basic characters, and they leave as fast as they come. I'm just like, I have no attachment to the characters, and then the story is set in the situation in a time period where it has. I mean. Again, we'll play through the rest of them, but so far, as far as I remember, this has essentially no bearings on any of the other campaigns. So I'm just like, what's the point of this narrative?
It does, but it doesn't. Like, the main thing about this one is Cortana, like, which is strange to me. and I don't want to keep talking about Rogue One, but like Rogue One set everything in motion for 4, 5, and 6. That's kind of like its thing. Whereas this sort of like, it definitely sets things in motion, but the fact that you don't get to know the characters and like you go and basically grab Cortana and deliver her so that way she can basically on the Pillar of Autumn, and then so that way then Master Chief picks her up, et cetera, and that starts Halo kind of thing. But you don't, since you don't have any connection to these characters and you don't have any sort of, I can't think of the word that I want to find here, but like you don't actually get introduced to Cortana. Like,
also Cortana I know for anyone who plays Halo, if for any Halo fan, if you list the top three characters, Cortana is probably number two or three just because of she's like Cortana. But at the end of the day, like, I'm sorry, but she's not that kind of stature of a character. Like, again, to compare it to Rogue One, because it's very much like Rogue One, where you don't meet Cortana until the last 10 minutes, 15 right. minutes. It's the same thing with Darth Vader in that movie, the last 10 minutes. And it's like, the difference being, this is Darth Vader we're talking about. He right. makes a hell of an entrance. Whereas Cortana is like, oh, you're the AI.
Right. And Cortana doesn't become interesting, in my opinion, until the later games. And
after
what I find...
Bungie leaves.
Right? It depends.
She doesn't have a character arc until after Bungie leaves, I feel like. But
no, she has a character arc between 2 and 3. A pretty large one. And she becomes more of a major, major player in terms of, like, the overall story, like, starts to center around her in 343's games.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, but my point is that as looking at this game in two different ways of before 343 did their thing, and this is being Bungie's last game kind of thing, it sort of falls flat in almost every aspect in the story-wise for me. It's just, I don't really care about the characters. It's cool that you see kind of what sets things in motion, and you get to see Cortana, but like you don't learn anything. Like you don't gain any insight on pretty much anything in the overall Halo story when it comes to the games kind of thing. And that's where I'm just kind of, I'm bored with it. Like, I'm just like, all right, like, and maybe this is more dependent on how you view Halo, but like I view Halo as a Master Chief game. So when you're telling a story that is not Master Chief, I think these games tend to fall in their face. Like,
I mean, that was a large part of the people's problem with Halo 2, I remember.
Right, and Halo 5. Like Halo 5's...
Half. I remember, like, people being upset because you play as the other... The Arbiter, yes, for half the game. You're like, I didn't sign up for this.
Right, and so... That's how I definitely feel about this game, too. It's just, like, stop taking me... Like, I get it. It makes a little more sense here because this is before Master Chief. Like, I shouldn't say before Master Chief, but Master Chief is not alive during this game. He's not activated, whatever you want to call it. And so I get it, but at the same time, it's just anytime you take Master Chief out of the equation, I'm instantly bored because you never give enough time to establish these characters.
That's the key to right. me. You don't.
And
they wanted the squad based unit, and it's, again, it's only 12 chapters. You don't get enough time with them. And I'm thinking right now of a Metal Gear Solid situation where Kojima kind of pulled the rug from beneath you, had you playing as Raiden, whatever. And there's a reason that worked, and it's because he leaned so hard into it, where you're playing the entire game as Raiden, and to the point where you're learning all about Raiden. You learn his backstory, where he came from, where he's going, what he's doing, how he got there, his plans for the future. You learned a lot about this character. By the end of Reach, I have no idea where Noble Six came. I can't recall where Noble Six really came from, what he did before joining the squad. Like they're just guys in suits to me. Like, none of them have any depth.
Right, and it's important to remember this is an Xbox 360 game. Like, so, you know, this is an old game. It's over 10 years old at this point. So gaming was in a different spot, et cetera. I don't think that's an excuse, but it makes a little more sense when you kind of compare it to games of the modern era, et cetera. So, I mean, I don't want to keep beating up on the story, but, like, so, like, that's where the story to me in this game is weak. And I was hoping, because some people swear by Halo Reach. Some people say it's the best one kind of thing. And I think you can make an argument as it being one of the best playing ones. And we'll talk about gameplay in a second. But I was hoping revisiting it this time, I was going to be more attached to the characters. But I wasn't. I really wasn't. And that was disappointing for me. But when we go over to the gameplay, I think I sort of understand that argument now, how it's one of the better playing ones. I have a long history of playing the Halo games, and I tend to like Halo 4 a lot, which some people absolutely hate. But I kind of like it for the opposite reasons, but we'll get to Halo 4 eventually. So to focus more on this one, and this is 100% a Bungie Halo game, in that every level has a very kind of distinct look to it, and it's got you do something a little bit different on every level. It's not a corridor shooter, it's a more open-ended shooter with warthogs and flying missions, and just you're always doing something different, which is something that I respect the Halo game or the Bungie Halo games, because I always thought that they understood what made Halo a little bit more than 343, which makes sense considering, you know, they created it, etc. But I'm not, how did you feel about that side of it?
Oh, I completely agree. The game will open up, will narrow in, it will open up. Like, it's a lot of just ebbs and flows instead of gameplay. If it's your first time going through it, or it's been a while, like, you forget, like, oh yeah, this is when I get the Scorpion, I get to do this. This is where I get the ghost, I get to do this. If I get the war, I get to do this. Or going to space and have the space battle. I kind of forgot that was in this game.
Cool. Yeah. I think it's the only time that I'm fairly certain that you ever have any kind of space sequence in a vehicle. And I think it's cool because no chapter is the same. Like, it truly is a different game from chapter to chapter. Like, I don't want to say, like, you know, it's like you're playing two different games. That's not the case, but they keep things fresh in a way that I think later games weren't able to do, or didn't try to do, you know, depending on how you look at it.
Or just shooters in general, really. I mean, they tend to have the template and that's it. Whereas, Reach definitely feels fresh each chapter. So, like, I completely agree. Like, much respect to that. My only issue with that is some of those sequences last just an act too long. Like, it's just like the space mission is just like you enjoy it for that half of the chapter, and then even the story lends itself to feeling like it's over. There's like almost a checkpoint where you're like, okay, we're done. It's like, oh no, you gotta do it again. You gotta do it some more. Right. You gotta do it one more time. There's one mission where you're in the VTOL. Is that the name of the big ships?
The Pelican looking thing.
The Pelican, yes. There's one mission where you're in the Pelican, like, most of the time, or going from base to base, and like it's fun, like, for the time it is. And then it's almost like the. There's a point where almost the game knows you're tired of it, and it literally says, "All right, team, just one more to go." And it's like, "Yeah, like it should have been over with, because we've been there already."
Right, and I can agree with that. I don't want to say like it wears out its welcome, because that's not quite what I want to say, but it. And its strength is that
too long.
Yeah, like its strength is that it keeps you doing different things, but it feels like for the sake of a longer runtime, it sort of has you do things maybe a little too long, which I think it is a testament to when the game was made kind of thing, because back then a 4 to 6 hour game was just now starting to be acceptable in that regard. And I think that this game falls sort of victim to wanting to be longer than it is, kind of thing. Like, I don't want to, again, go too deep and off tangent, but it's just like, you know, this was after Halo ODST, where that game is, you know, knowingly shorter than the rest of the games. And like, this is the era of when Call of Duty is sort of still finding its footing of having a shorter campaign. It's just like, it falls victim of it doesn't want to be too short, because that's not okay for a lot of people. But the solution was basically make every mission a little bit longer, kind of thing. And I think it ends up hurting it playing it now.
A bit, because the testament that I give to just Bungie Studios in general, and the reason why I'll even consider playing Destiny again, is the gameplay is just like, they like, when it comes to just a fun shooter, like they like them in the studio that does Titanfall, I forgot the name of it.
Respawn,
yeah. They know how to make a fun shooter. Just basic pure shooting is fun. So it's like, right off the bat, like, I haven't played this game in, what, 10 years or something? Like, how long this game's been out? And it's like, from the first mission, I'm like, this is how I play. Like, it's like I never missed a beat. Everything just felt right. Everything felt good. Even the sprint button being on the left shoulder pad for me, I'm like, nope, this works. This is how you do this. So it's like switching weapons, picking up weapons off the ground, assassinations, just the floating jumping. Like, it all just comes together, and it still feels very good.
Right, and Bungie has always been very strong at letting you sort of tackle each situation the way you want to. You know, you can play it more. Like, I definitely noticed you're more of a charge up the pistol, drop the shields, and go in for the kill kind of thing. At least that's what I saw. I just happened to see those times. But I'm definitely more of a long range Halo player. You know, I want the BR, I want the DMR. I want to be able to take those people out from a distance and not get into any trouble kind of thing. But that's where Halo's always been strongest, is you can sort of tackle the situation the way that you want to. They'll give you the tools, and you just have to decide how you want to use them.
I completely agree. There are games out there like Borderlands that keeps. So many of these games. You probably name off way more. It's just those games where it's like those class-based shooters that say, "All right, we're a cooperative shooter, and you play with other people, and nothing about it's cooperative. You're all doing the same thing."
Right.
But Halo, like, the reason you saw me playing that way is because the way you played. Because when I saw you hanging back, I knew I can just go in, get a couple of kills. And if I die, you'll be back there. I can respawn just fine. I will play differently if someone else was running up front.
Right.
So, like, the Halo, but that's kind of how I remember playing all the Halo games. Is like, you can kind of play off the person next to you.
Yeah. And I do think some of the later games, especially 3, I think did the co-op best. I think this game falls a little bit short in not giving you enough opportunity to truly work together, if that makes sense. But I think that's forgivable kind of thing. I don't think that's a huge flaw. I'll say that I think the idea at the time of like the armor lock and the jetpack and the hologram and stuff like that, like, I was never a huge fan of that in general. I still think that it's a good idea. I don't think the practice was exactly nailed here. I ended up basically keeping sprint most of the time, except like when it forced us to have jetpack because there's craters and stuff like that. But like, I tried switching up to armor lock and hologram, and it just didn't. Armor lock, I still don't get. I don't quite understand the point of armor lock, because you know, if you get into trouble and you throw into armor lock, as soon as you get out of armor lock, you're still screwed. Like,
Well, in campaign, you get a little bit of wiggle room, I feel like. Multiplayer is just useless.
I feel like it's the one thing I remember it doing, and I never did it in the campaign because I didn't really have it. Like, if you get stuck and you throw into armor lock, the grenade like detaches from you. Like, I remember that being like a huge thing, and then the same thing was with like
but the opposite happened with vehicles all the time too.
Yeah, like with vehicles, like if someone's about to run into you and you throw into armor lock, they hit you and they sort of, it does damage them kind of thing. So like there was, it was almost like the very specific scenarios for each one of these. But the fact that you don't have them at your disposal at all times makes them extremely situational.
That's what killed me in the campaign, because I was the armor lock guy online. I only use armor lock. And then playing the campaign, I noticed I would pick it up. And then I might die and respawn without it, or be a checkpoint and not have it. And just like, know what? Forget it. I don't really care anymore. Like, right. I just like either give it to me the entire time, or because when I had to go pick it up every time, I just kind of I didn't care anymore. It wasn't that necessary.
And it's like I think it was an important step in Halo, because it sort of transformed Halo in, or I shouldn't say Halo. Well, maybe it did. I don't. Maybe that's right. But at some point, Halo went from being a typical shooter into Spartans actually having abilities, and I think that was a smart thing to do, because it gave Halo its sense of character back a little bit, but we'll get in that with the later games. But I don't know, I think there's a lot of good ideas here that I just don't think were completely executed correctly, but the core of it is still really good. But the thing is, at least I remember, like the later games, the core being so good, but there wasn't other things to distract it. Whereas I feel like in Reach, there's just so many things distracting you from the core gameplay that it's easy to get lost. But I had the most fun when I basically was like, all right, I'm not screwing around with the Spartan abilities. I'm not screwing around with the shields. I'm not screwing around with the jetpack. I'm just going to play Halo and have some fun. And I think it's really good for that. But where my controversial opinion is that I think the lack of a second enemy type, where it's just basically Covenant, is where I think Halo's better when you have the Flood.
The occasional brute was there.
Yeah, that's fair. I forgot about it. We just finished it and I already forgot about him kind of thing. And that's because they don't really do anything. Like, they charge you. That's about it. Like, they don't really have any, it doesn't really change how I play the game. Kind of thing. And it, like, you know, because I think about Bungie's other games, like, you know, Destiny is the one that comes, I mean, I guess that really is the only other game. Destiny comes to mind, and like the different factions plays so well into those core mechanics that it changes how you play, and you have to tackle each enemy different. And that's how I always felt about the Flood and eventually about the Prometheans and stuff, is just like, when you've got that counterbalance to the Covenant, and you have to change how you play, I think that's when Halo is better. And I know a lot of people think that the Flood is very annoying, and I think that you can make a case for that. But the fact that there's only the Covenant is just a little, I don't want to say disappointing, but I just think it makes it a weaker game overall. But well, I know some people really hate that. But
we'll definitely get to it, obviously. And I think I remember the Flood. The only issue with the Flood is my issue with parts of this game where it just lasted a little too long.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's what I remember my issue with the Flood ever being. That said, when it comes to Reach, I can honestly say I love the core. Halo is one of the kings of shooters for me. I mean, like, even I would take it a step further. Even I would say Bungie is king of developing. Is one of the kings of developing shooters, just because of how good that core is. So I love the core of Reach. My beef will always be, well, I won't take, I'll take that back. My beef so far, playing in chronological order, in story order rather, is what the heck is happening with the story and why do I care?
Yeah.
And that's my biggest beef, because I know there's some Halo. I know there's a bunch of Halo fans that watch the TV show, read all the comic books, read all the novels, the graphic novels, who know the ins and outs. I'm just playing the games here. Like, to compare it to Star Wars again, I'm not reading the books. I'm not reading the novels. I'm just watching the movies. So, like, playing the games proper, which is where I, which is should be the one place to get the main story. I just played through Reach, and I still don't understand the suit situation. Like, why don't all Marines have suits? So we're all super soldiers. Why don't we all have the abilities? It's never the. I don't think it's really directly answered in Reach. I'm gonna bet it's not. I just played it.
Yeah.
So it's like, and then it leads into Halo CE, which we'll get to. And it's like, why isn't everyone Master Chief? Like, right. I understand why there's one Cortana. They meant that explicitly clear.
Right.
My issue is like, I just have a lot of issues with the lore. Like, they sprinkle stuff here and there, and but it's like, it doesn't come together.
I think I said it when we were playing. I was like, the best Halo lore is outside of the game. Like, the Fall of Reach book, fantastic. Absolutely fantastic book. And it legitimately shows you the benefits, but as well as the drawbacks of Spartans. Like, and it's a very good story, but it's not in any of the games. Like, and there's some stuff in the later games if you go digging for it. But yeah, no, I agree with you. I think that it's tough because there's some really neat stuff in Halo, but they've never found that balance to tell it correctly.
There are nuggets of information that are placed in the room in different places, and it's like having a living room with a black couch, a green love seat, and an orange table. It's like none of this is coming together. Yeah, I'm interested in that one thing. You never dig deep into it, and then when you do, it's just kind of weird.
Yeah, and that's we'll get to them, and that's actually one reason why I like one of the games more than a lot of people don't. But we'll get to that game eventually. I don't. Maybe at the end of this, we just need to do a Halo recap, you know, a overall one, because we it's hard to talk about just one game when you've played the other games kind of thing. So, but that's the whole point of this thing. But so to wrap it up before we get there, like I do want to shout out that, you know, this is a very good remaster. It looks very good. I remember having a huge beef with the original game and the freaking motion blur. Like, if people don't remember, and if you have the ability, go and play original Halo Reach on an Xbox 360. The blur in that game gave me headaches. What was with the motion blur? Like, even the little number on your rifle when you were walking would blur. Like, I don't understand what the point of that was. But this version of the game, they've cleaned it up very, very well. And the HDR is very good. I was very surprised by the HDR because we played half this game on PC and half of this game on console. And I only have HDR on console. And it looked nice. It just, like, the way that the plasma pistol and the, what is the name of that? That's not the Revenant. That's Doom. What the heck's the name of that?
The carbine?
No, the... Well, the needle rifle was pretty nice, but no, the ship from the Covenant, the big one, the Wraith. The Wraith, like when it shoots its blast or whatever, like the way it was like traveling through the air and like that HDR on the blast was really cool. Like it really highlighted the aesthetics of the Covenant, you know, and that's when HDR can really shine. And there was some really cool stuff, like the way that the sword glowed in a way that wasn't like, you know, I don't want to go into an HDR rant here, but it's like there's a time when HDR is too subtle and there's a time when it's too much. Like, they could have easily just made the sword, because the sword's awesome, just glow beyond belief. It's because it's a sword, but they were very, very classy in implementing HDR in a game that was not built with HDR in mind, kind of thing. And that's totally a thing. Like, you can tell when something just says HDR thrown in and when it's built from the ground up with HDR. And I was impressed with that aspect of it alone. That, you know, it was enough that I was like, I kind of want to play this by myself just to see what the game looks like in HDR, sort of thing. But I'm a picture nut kind of guy, so that's I understand I'm in the minority on that one. But I do want to give credit for that and that. And the PC version runs very, very well. I didn't really have any hitching. Every once in a while there was some hitching with, but I think that was more the network connection than the actual game. It was kind of weird. But I think you're installed on an SSD and I was not. So I'm wondering if that had something to do with it. Like, I was trying to load in stuff when you were already had the assets loaded. That's the only thing I can think of. But maybe, yeah. So, but I think it's fair to say that I think we've talked enough about it that we can render our verdict on it. I think we're in agreement on this one.
I believe we are. This is an absolute, pass on to a friend. This is a piece of, not to overinflate it, but this is a piece of Xbox history. You should definitely give Halo another run through. especially if you're a fan of it, I feel like, just cause like this, it's just to see you, like how the Xbox kind of evolved as a shooter. It's just a matter of, and again, the core, just the core game of it is still very good. Keep in mind, we're just talking campaign. We didn't even touch the multiplayer.
Right.
Add in the multiplayer, you got a whole other level of core gameplay. That's fantastic.
I don't agree. I think this game is 100% pass on it. Like, I can see the argument, but I don't think there's anything in here that is must play. I think that the fact that the story doesn't go anywhere, the fact that there's not the flood, and while the core of it is very good, I think that there are much better games in this franchise, and I personally think this is by far the weakest of the Bungie games. I don't think it's the weakest Halo game, but on the echelon of, if I had to rank them in a hierarchy, there's only one game I would put below this, and
I would agree with that. I would agree with that rationale if this was the last game we played in our series. This being the first, I can't say for sure that it's just not up the fluff compared to the other ones yet. I still have to play the first and the second again.
The lack of Master Chief, I think, just,
it's stupid.
Like, if if there was something in the story that pushed it to anything, like if there was something in the story that I could point to that would be like, all right, like, look, this isn't the best Halo game, but you should play it for this reason.
This game,
I can't even find that though. Like,
this game should have been about building the. This game should have ended with a build the Master Chief suit or something. Like, not a Cortana reference. Like, that doesn't, she doesn't do anything.
Right. That's kind of where I'm at. Like,
I'm on the fence. So if you're gonna pass on by, I'm okay with that, because
Cortana
Venture, I'm not a fan.
Even as, like you said, like this is a Halo game, like a mainline Halo game at that. I just don't think it's there. I would argue that there's.
It also didn't have the ending where you run away, where you drive away in the Warthog, like one of the greatest endings of all time. So it's
right,
like
with the music playing in the background. Exactly. Like, that's a good point, actually.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think I've. Like, my gut is going with pass on it. Like, it kind of hurts a little bit, but I think if you sat me down and was like, you can only play the good Halo games, I would not put this in the good category.
It's the Uncharted 4 of Halo games.
I would say it's more the, what was the Vita one?
Lost something or something.
I kind of want to know, like, I'm going to fact check on the air here, but like what the hell was the name of that game?
Golden Sun or some crap.
Oh, Golden Abyss. That's right. Yeah, Golden Abyss. Yeah. That's a good comparison though. Like, it's there. It's got some of what you want in it, but it's just like, no, fine. You're fine without it.
I don't know. Golden Abyss is kind of. I guess. Yeah, I guess it's accurate. Maybe I enjoyed Golden Abyss more than I should have. Maybe that's the case.
Did you enjoy drawing on that screen?
No, but I didn't enjoy drawing on anything.
You had to.
Sony. No one enjoys this.
So are we going to agree pass on it?
I agree. Yeah, we'll pass on it.
All right. Ooh, that one, that's going to, you know, if this is your first time listening, it's probably your last. But no, yeah, I just can't in good faith say that you should go out of your way to play this game. Like, if you're a fan of the Halo franchise, you're either going to play it or not. Like, if you're listening to this and you're maybe like someone that's sort of like, you know, like, yeah, I've played a couple of them. Like,
true.
I just don't think this is one you should, like, if your time is limited and you only want to play certain things, like, I just think this isn't the one. Like, this just isn't the one to play. So
that's a good point. Yeah, that's right.
We'll go from there, I guess. So Halo Reach, we're going to say pass on it. Ouch. So that Microsoft endorsement's not going to come through, is it?
Ouch is for real, because I mean, the other big exclusive they've released on here, if I recall correctly, the Gears of War, we weren't jumping at the nip to pass that one on either.
No, yeah, we... Different scenario, but no, I think that game...
It's just a matter of the exclusives. Like, it's funny, right. This is the story of Microsoft, really. Like, the exclusives are kind of on the fence about, and then...
They have struggled this entire generation with having just those marquee titles. You know, there are some very good games. But the weirdest thing about Microsoft this generation is that Forza Horizon is their best franchise. Easily the best games that they've made this generation, which is just, I don't want to downplay Forza because I've played those games
but saying Gran Turismo is the best thing going for Sony right now. Right. They don't want that to be the case. Like, they wanted to sell gangbusters. They wanted to do well, but they don't want that to be the case.
It's hard to market a brand around a racing game. Like, it just is.
You can't have a car in front of on the cover, as a mascot, rather.
Right. So that's, But all right, that's going to do it for this episode. So we ran into a slight snag. So I guess, as usual, we're going to do this on the air. Are we playing Overcooked next? What are we doing?
We're doing Overcooked because I like some Overcooked.
All right. So our next game will be Overcooked 2. We'll be playing that on Xbox. It is not available on Xbox Game Pass for PC. I thought about maybe playing the original, but if I remember correctly, the original Overcooked does not have online play. That was something that they added for the sequel. So just a fun fact so everyone knows. That is why we're going to go with Overcooked 2. And we've never really played a cooperative... What's the word I'm looking for?
Video game.
No, we have a cooperative. I can't think of the word. We truly have to rely on each other in this one. Like,
right, exactly. Yeah.
And as you know,
because we played the that Castle Crashers type game. I forgot the name of it already.
Full Metal Furies.
Yes. But I see what you're saying. That is kind of like a Borderlands situation where it's like, right. I'm doing my thing, you're doing your thing, and then we just got to get from left to the right part of the screen where it's like, this is like, we're working in tandem. And it's also interesting because we both played this game with other people.
Right.
And
I wanted to make sure to notice that we have not played Overcooked 2 at all.
I played Overcooked 2.
Oh, okay. Well, then forget everything I just said. I have not played Overcooked 2. So I don't even
Switch,
know. Like,
right? Switch has Overcooked 2.
It's got both of them.
I have Overcooked 2 on Switch. That's where I played it on.
So because I've only played the original, and so like I don't even know what I'm walking into. Kind of like I don't know what any of the new stuff is. If there is new stuff, et cetera, et cetera. So, but yeah. But all right. So that's gonna do it for this episode. So next episode we will be on Overcooked. Dose. That's 2 for all you people.
Of a clock number 5.
And we will see you next time.
Good days.